centerpiece of the entire web is the use of children for sex.
It was a stunning case that ultimately revealed the secretly perverse lifestyle Wesson had forced his family to lead.
It was more like an organized crime family.
According to Yahweh's law, that was just the way it was supposed to be.
One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find him.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. We are in bonus episode territory, in between seasons. But besides my hoarse voice from a cold or allergies, don't worry, it's not the C word, we're not going to slack in content on these bonus episodes, as we have Nicole Maffey as a guest for the next two episodes. Now, Nicole Maffey was actually born a Kingston, as in the Kingston Clan, one of the most corrupt and dangerous cults masquerading as a Mormon religious group operating today. You see, I did four episodes on the Kingston Clan earlier this season, and as you will remember, they are close to being basically billionaires, but their multiple wives and children live in absolute poverty. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Let's let Nicole tell you the story of her childhood and the advocacy and help she's trying to give to others who are escaping polygamy and groups like hers.
I've listened to almost every podcast episode you've been on or like interview you've been on, but I also watched the one Sister Wives that you were on. You're so pretty. You have like perfect symmetrical features. You remind me of my sister, actually. Like, you guys have a very just kind of like baby doll face.
Oh, thank you.
I'll send you a photo of my sister. I think you'll see it. Like, you just have like whatever.
Well, thank you. I try.
Okay. So, do you want to know anything about me before, so you feel like comfortable at all?
No, I'm pretty open with my story, and I did a little bit of looking into like your podcast, but as long as nothing's like cut and pasted or whatever, I'm totally cool. I'm pretty open about everything.
No, and I think that's good. I wonder if that's healing for you to be more open. Is it?
I've been out for a while now, so it's not like, and I went through a lot of years of therapy too, to work through everything. So,
I'm gonna ask about that actually. So how many years have you been out?
So I've been out about 12.
12. Okay. Perfect. Oh, we're around the same age then. So you were 17 when you left. Well, and then you went back when you were 18.
So I was 17, when I left the first time. I went back when I was 17, actually, and then I left for good when I was 18. And then they tried to get me to go back and forth because I lost my family and everything. So it's been kind of a crazy year, so I kind of took some time off from, like, marketing and everything. And so I'm finally situated out in Missouri, then I want to actually get back into it. And, it's been a crazy year, let me tell you.
Like anything specific besides COVID?
So I was actually running my own business right before COVID hit. My business was shut down because of COVID. I was running a daycare, childcare business. And I had been running that business for 8 years. COVID happened, and the landlord that I was living at, he sold my house. So I moved in with a relative that also left the cold. And obviously with, that we kind of triggered each other. And so like it didn't end super well. And so I was there for about 8 or 9 months and then decided that I was so done with Utah and so done with everything that I was just like, nope, I'm done. So I went on a road trip and I took my 5 kids with me and we just went on a road trip to find a place we'd fall in love with. And we found Missouri and just fell in love with it. And now we bought a house out here and my yeah, everybody, all my kids are out here now, finally.
I think that's cool as hell that you did that. Wait, so are you married or no? And no judgment if you're not. I don't subscribe to any, I don't fucking care about, I don't judge people.
So we are technically still married. When we, when I moved in with a relative, we separated. We were having issues anyways. And then I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. It was just, we both needed some space to kind of work on ourselves. And so now we're both out here. He did move out here with me. We aren't living together right now. We're kind of like trying to co-parent and figure everything out. You know how fun that is after a marriage and five kids and everything intertwined and then not intertwined. And then, yeah, so it's been kind of an adventure. He still is my husband. I don't even know what to refer to him as, because I mean, we still like, I mean, he's still my best friend. We're still like together, but we're also not, we also have no expectations. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good. I love that you guys are still friends. Okay. So five kids. Now I'm going completely off script now, because now we're just chatting. Do you feel like you had that many kids because that you were raised in that sort of environment where, I mean, there's a shitload of kids?
Absolutely.
Explain that to me, the mentality of that. Like, did you know, like, when you guys got married, did you know going into it, like, I want to have a certain amount of kids? Or is he Mormon?
No, so he was not Mormon. He was not from any kind of background in that. His family, his mom is Christian. He does have a brother that's Mormon, and then he has a sister that's Christian. So his family is all over the board with religion, that none of them are from any big churches or anything. But I think that's actually a lot of where our marriage problems came from, because I got married thinking that, you know, you get married, you have kids, you buy a house, you do all this stuff. And so I kind of just went with the script and wanted that script, and that part of it, I think, was to prove to myself that, you know, I could leave and like make everything work and whatever. And like, I kind of just did what I was molded to do. And it wasn't until I had like my fourth kid that I was like, you know, like, I love all my kids. Don't get me wrong. I love my kids. I love being a mom. Like, I love, and it's not so much. It used to be about, I wanted a big family because I needed to fill something in myself that I was missing when I left. And now it's more like, you know, I love my kids. I love having, like, I love having them around. And actually, I'm kind of sad because I don't get to spend as much time with them one-on-one because I do have so many. And so even if, like, wherever my husband and I go, then we're done. I may do foster care going forward, but I'm done birthing children.
Yeah, well, you might be what? Did you say foster care?
Yeah, so I'm open to doing foster care just because I know, like...
Oh, I see. You would take kids in. Okay, I get it. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
You could give your kids up to foster care. I was like, what?
No. Like, I love my kids, but like I'm saying, in order like to add to my family, I would never, I would not get pregnant again, but I'm thinking that we're done, but I would be open to doing foster care. And that's just something that would be farther down the road. Not anything that I would be prepared
for that. I feel like there's, I don't know if you, I mean, so I guess we can jump into scary stuff. I know that you were abused because I read your book, but I don't know if you know this about like a lot of, there's a lot of great foster care parents, but there's also a lot of like people that get into it so they can abuse children. And I feel like you would have like a really good mindset to take care of the kids and pay attention. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's why I thought about getting into it, just because I did volunteer with trying to help other people leave polygamous communities, and it was rewarding. It's a lot of damage that I wasn't as prepared for, because it's one thing going through it yourself, and then it's another thing watching somebody else do it and not being able to fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard position to be in, almost as hard as going through it yourself.
I could imagine that.
It's triggering.
I could see that. I hear that completely. I should probably go on track so my listeners know exactly your story, and then we'll go into the heavy stuff. I'll let my ADD not kick in and just go straight into it. So let's go to your backstory. So, and then we'll go back into everything. So you were born into the Kingston clan, which has now been, I mean, I think most people agree that it's a cult. Do you believe it's a cult?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Same. Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So you would consider the Kingston clan a cult?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were born to the leader, but you didn't know he was your father. So just explain your childhood, you know, not knowing who your father was. Did they tell you some weird story that he was like a truck driver? Or I know that sometimes they do that. What?
Yeah.
Until you found out. What was the story?
So we were always told. So I actually, even if you look at my birth certificate, it doesn't say my dad's name on it. It actually has a fake name on it. And so I would always ask who he is. And my mom would just say, oh, he's out working for the Lord. He's out working for Heavenly Father. Like he's just doing God's work, or like he was away for business or whatever. Like it was just a different story every time. And she would never really get into it. And so I would ask her questions about it, and I was just under the impression that my mom was a single mom. We would go to church. We would have to say bye to Paul, like my dad, every weekend on Sunday before we would leave church, but we were never able, like we never knew of him as our dad or anything. So we did see him once a week to say bye to him, but we didn't know he was our dad. And then when I was about six or eight years old, I can't even remember now. Then he actually, like one of my half sisters actually told me, she was like, yeah, did you know Paul's my dad and he's your dad too? And I was like, no, that's not true. Like my mom would have told me like all this stuff. Like, and so I went home and I asked my mom, and she said, well, let's ask Uncle Paul. And that's what we used to call him. And, at that point I knew.
You had to ask him? Like you were, like he was supposed to, so she obviously knows that that's your dad, but she asked you to ask him?
So my mom, whenever I would ask a question that she didn't know, like she didn't know how to answer, then she would tell us that we have to ask Uncle Paul. And so that meant that yes, he was my dad, and that's when I figured it out, because that's how she would answer those questions. And
she,
so.
Under his, I get it.
Exactly. And so I didn't. So I actually didn't even end up asking him. I already knew the answer, and it was. And it's just really hard to get a hold of him and have a conversation with him. And so I didn't worry about it after that. I just knew he was. And then one night, they pulled me out of bed, and he explained to me how special their marriage was, and that people would try to persecute them, and like it was God's plan, and I had to keep it a secret so that Satan wouldn't try to destroy it. And it was like a 2 or 3 hour conversation, and in the middle of the night, because that's the only time he was over there.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you think he gave all of it? So he has how many children? Is it in the hundreds?
Yeah, it's probably 300 or 400 now.
That's alarming.
And that's conservative.
That's alarming to hear. Do you think he gave each of his kids that, and I wouldn't say it's special attention because, you know, not even knowing he's your dad, but like, do you think he explains this to every, do you think there's some of those 300 kids that don't know still that he's their dad?
So now things are a little bit different. I'm one of the older kids. So my oldest brother, or my oldest half brother, is probably, I would say, in his early 40s now. And so I'm one of the older kids. So he had a lot smaller family when I was that young. And so I think that he did give, and for some reason he did give me more attention than a lot of my siblings as well, even the ones that were older. Mm-hmm. But all of the kids now, they know, just because polygamy is a lot more accepted in Utah now. And so all the younger kids know who their dad is now. Whereas okay. when I was growing up, then it was something that was hidden because they were worried about going to jail or whatever. But I think it was like December 2012 or whatever when gay marriage was legalized. Then they also decriminalized polygamy.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I'm looking at my outline now. I'm just going to fucking skip over all the quick fire questions because we just started to get to know each other quickly. So I'm just going to keep asking you. I want to ask you a few more things about yourself.
Now, listen, I love every product I talk about on Seven Deadly Sinners, and every single one of them I use. But there are some that I am specifically obsessed with. And that would be Harper Wild bras. I am a true proponent of hating bras, thinking they're so uncomfortable. But Harper Wild has kept me the most comfortable while making me a lady and lifting my boobs. Honestly, going braless was the best part of the pandemic. Like, I didn't have to go out of the house and like be like, ah, sorry, guys, I'll just put a jacket over this, but I don't want to put a bra on. You know, like, we stopped wearing heels. And again, we stopped wearing bras. But one thing I'm bringing with me as things slowly approach normal life is comfort. And I know I can still be comfortable in a bra thanks to Harper Wild. Harper Wild makes bras that put comfort first. Their collection of quality basics include the base, a very nice bra that I can actually wear under sundresses, tank tops, which are so hard to find. It is such a unique, perfect bra. It's a lightly lined everyday bra in a range of nudes that won't show through your shirt. And the Bliss. The Bliss is, it's a bra after my own heart. The Bliss is a bralette that provides lift while feeling like second skin. It is honestly the softest, most buttery fabric you've ever felt. Like, even if you're like a no-go bra gal like me, you'll want to wear the Bliss. It's better than not wearing a bra. It makes it so much more comfortable. You feel like it's just like luxury. With Harper Wild, you can always count on buttery fabrics and thoughtful construction for all-day comfort. Plus, with an easy interactive fit quiz, beautifully priced bundles, and free returns, they've made the act of shopping for bras painless too. And part of their proceeds provides mentorship and advocacy for girls through Girls Inc. You even get a handy bra recycling kit with your purchase, so you can say goodbye to your old bras sustainably. Harper Wild makes everything about bras just better. So stay in your comfort zone. Go to harperwild.com/sinners today so you can get 20% off your first purchase. Because the only thing better than a comfortable bra is getting a discount just for being a Seven Deadly Sinners listener. That's 20% off at harperwild.com. That's harperwilde.com/sinners. harperwild.com/sinners.
So were you able to, like, ever attend, like, a concert as a kid or fantasize about, like, a career that wasn't within the order? Like, did you have – what were your hopes and dreams as a little kid? I know that you've become successful now as a writer and a speaker, but were you able to, like, cultivate some sort of dream, or was it just you were supposed to, like, get married within the order and –
Yeah, so we were not allowed to. So college, nobody even went to college until I was about 14, 15 years old. And actually, my dad actually, and the reason that they did allow us to go to college is so they could steal money from FAFSA, from government. And that's the only reason that we were allowed to go to college at all.
Would they get grants or something?
Yeah, so everybody, so all of the students, because they're all from single moms, then all of, like, me and my sisters and all of my siblings from all the different moms would get financial aid. And they give you more than what you, they give you what pays your tuition and your books, and then they also give you something to live on. And so what we would get it, and we would pay our tuition and our books, and then the order would take the rest of it.
Oh my God! I didn't know that they were scamming the college. I knew that they were scamming just like welfare fraud type thing. I didn't know they got into that the college game. Wow.
Yeah, they'll put their fingers in anything they can.
There's a mafia. So, anyway, okay, keep going.
She let a couple, me and a couple of my sisters go to college. But we were only allowed to take classes together. We were not allowed to socialize with anybody at college. And he always planted like some of his like favorite daughters to go to college with us and make sure. And we were not allowed to be on campus by ourselves. We had to carpool with other sisters. Like we were not allowed to be alone on the college campus at all. Yeah. So I was just going to say, so the rules were super strict. And then, like, if you did anything, like, if you lost your financial aid, then they would immediately pull you out of school. So if your grades didn't stay up, then they would just pull you out.
What constitutes, like, a favorite daughter or a favorite, I mean, you didn't mention a favorite son yet. I hope it's not all just favorite girls because that would freak me out more. What constitutes, like, a favorite daughter or a favorite wife or what is that? They're probably two different things, but explain the
so a favorite thing. Yeah, so a favorite wife would be, and it's going to be somebody that will do whatever you want sexually is generally the favorite wife. The favorite daughter generally is one is prettier, more developed. It's about sex. It's about which daughter they can sell for the most to somebody else in the group. And for the favorite wife, it's the same thing.
I adored talking to Nicole, and we're going to hear way more from her next week. But I was so blown away from that last part. Like, I had done so much research on the Kingston clan, and nothing in the media and my source material, anything came up with. I mean, like, obviously I knew that, you know, children were essentially married, but I didn't realize it was sort of like a interfamily sex trafficking. That blew my mind in the worst way possible. But Nicole's going to tell us more, and she's going to tell us more about how she's helping others and how she's doing amazing, how she escaped, how others have next week. And there's light at the end of the tunnel, but that did blow my mind. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. Leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts. Tag us in your Instagram stories at 7 Deadly Sinners Podcast on Instagram. And reach out via email at 7deadlysinnerspodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully next week my voice won't sound like this, but we'll see. All right, bye.